Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today my name is Phil Armstrong and I'll be with you for the next 59 minutes. Radio. That was weird. Anyway.
Hello and welcome to the show. Today my name is Phil Armstrong and I'll be with you for the next 59 seconds. 59 minutes.
I have a little technical difficulty here. Okay, I had to close all the chat rooms, so I apologize for that. For some reason, the speakers came on, and I never had that happen before. So I apologize for the technical difficulties. My chat room will be coming right back up again. Today I want to talk about the death of an icon, Michael Jackson, the death of a movie star and an icon, Farrah Fawcett, and Ed McMahon. But for them, I want to speak positive about them because they had their impact on society. And like I said, I'm not here to bash them. I was watching the Fox News, and they were pretty much terrible on the coverage of Michael Jackson. As a matter of fact, me and my wife was watching it, and they just didn't have anything good to say about Michael Jackson. I mean, I understand, as a Christian, I understand what he done, but at least give the man a couple of weeks, heck, after he's been buried before you bashing to death like that. And then, and not to sell Michael Jackson short, I feel bad for Farrah Fawcett because she's gotten smothered and they really don't talk about her as much, and maybe the family might like that and maybe the family might not, you know. But when you die, I think if you're that famous, you should have a shout out no matter what. So I used to watch Farrah Fawcett on Charlie's Angels, believe it or not. I was a manly man, but still, I used to watch Charlie's Angels. I think I had a crush on the Charlie Angels girls. But also on Ed McMahon. I remember watching him late at night. I mean, I really didn't pay attention to him and Johnny Carson's corny jokes. But, they were icons. I mean, they were stamped on the, Michael Jackson especially, stamped on the memories of Americans, the people of the world, at least Michael Jackson was. So, but as a believer, you look at some of the things that, like Fox was talking about tonight, that Michael Jackson might have done. But you don't do it on the night he died, on the day he died. You wait. Come on. Okay? So, you know, God forgives as long as you ask for forgiveness, but God forgives. But even if God didn't forgive him, it's because he didn't ask for forgiveness, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But you still don't send somebody out on the night that they die and bring up things that, come on, not on the night that he died. And if you read Proverbs, it talks a lot. And the Proverbs really ain't talking about if the person was saved or not a lot of times. Because if you say, if it says, you know, a man should raise his child the way he should go, you know, even if you are not saved or not following Jesus, people who are not saved have morals. Okay, so my point is that it doesn't matter what people who aren't saved have morals, believe it or not. And sometimes it can be a scary thing. But Jesus says in John 3:19, and I'm talking about the people who see Michael Jackson died of a cardiac arrest or a heart attack. You don't know what you're going to be doing next week. You don't know if you're going to die next week. Same person watching Michael Jackson, the percentages of having a heart attack, I got a messed up heart. So the percentages of having a bad heart, you can die on Monday morning. That's when people mostly die. Statistics say people normally die on Monday morning because they don't want to go to work. And I'm not trying to be funny or nothing. I'm just saying that's the most stressful time. It's Sunday. You're sitting there Sunday thinking, hey, I got to go back to this place I can't stand. So you watching Michael Jackson, and you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. And that's exactly what they were saying on CNN. I forgot who it was, but CNN, they were talking about, you don't know, here's this person that they can't even bring through the traffic. They had to take him up in a helicopter. Here's this person who was the king of pop yesterday, and now he's got to go. We got to go the same way he's gone. See, now what they do, or what we do, if we don't say, okay, you die, Joe dies, we don't say we got to go pick up Joe at the funeral home. We say we got to go pick up the body. Is this what life is all about? Oh, yeah, we got to go pick up. When I used to work at Holy Family in Spokane, oh, we got to go. There's a body downstairs. I mean, why not just say we got to pick up Rodney Jones down at the morgue? No, because it's a shell now. And it says in the Bible that it's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. It doesn't have to cover the born part, because if you're born, as long as they don't abort you before you get to this point, it's appointed for a man to die once and then the judgment. But God has given life for us to live to the fullest. Even our Constitution asks us to do that. But see, when you become born again, your problems don't go out the window. But when you keep salvation and you read His Word and you clarify and you, as long as you keep God in your life, and keep Him close and keep Him as your Lord and Savior, but not only Lord and Savior, but He is your refuge and strength. He's your high tower. He's your everything. He's your supplier. He's your comforter. He walks with you. He talks with you. As long as you keep those and you know that God is there, then life is not mixed up. You're not confused. No matter what happens, as long as you read His Word and ask Him for understanding, because He is your helper, He's your comforter, Yes, he's your Lord. He's your shepherd. As long as you keep him close, understanding that you must decrease, that he must increase, then life is not as complicated as they're making it seem. And Michael Jackson, when the icon dies, and they have a kind of sort of a mystical life, and the life is just confusing. Like James Brown. Just straight up confusing. Even Madonna's life is confusing. Those are icons. I talk to people in the Army, and I have little, you know, girls that are in the Army that's like my little sister. Lives are confusing. Heck, my life was confusing. But see, the light, when you get in His Word, is a lamp to your feet. So if you walk into the desert, let's say woods, because woods you can get popped in the head by a limb. So if you're walking in the desert, and you don't have no light, you're gonna fall and break your neck. Well, now I do understand that Christians do have problems, but I would never trade in being a Christian for being not a Christian. Because no matter how hard things get, I have a supplier. I have a comforter. I have a shepherd. I have a Lord. I have somebody who's going to eventually straighten everything out. And if I die in the process, hey, I'm in heaven. So when we look at these icons and say, wow, their lives are all screwed up. Not every single one of them. I mean, Anita Baker, her life is not screwed up. I don't think so. I mean, it's hard for me to find a few of them that's not screwed up. So let's go down to the common man's level. The person is not famous. Their life's still screwed up. A lot of people's lives are screwed up. Now, you might say, though, how does a person that is not a Christian have so much a cool life? Some people are what you have squeaky clean lives. They follow the same principles that are in the Bible. Do you have to be a Christian to understand that you have to be the head and not the tail? You have to be a Christian actually to love your wife? Some unbelievers can love their wives like Christ loved the church more than a believer. And I'll tell you why in a minute. So if God wants us to be the light of the world, Can a believer sometimes be in darkness sometime? No, I don't think so. But if you don't pick up your word and you can relate the word to food, we're going to have some skinny Christians, because a lot of us, and I quote us because I'm in it, we need to pick up the word more. And I say, I do read the word, and I do the applying part, but I need to study to show myself approved, a workman. And I do, but I don't study to a point where, see, I kind of understand why, because sometimes people study the Bible, and I'm going to make some sense out of this in a second. If you're driving down the highway, sometimes people study the Bible too much, and then they miss the point. But if you're driving down the highway too much, if you're driving down the highway to somebody's house, and you and your wife is in a good, or you and your friend is in a good conversation, and y'all headed over to your sister's house, and y'all keep talking and talking and talking, and next thing you know, you pass the exit, and you go so far down, you go like 30 minutes down. You out of the way, because y'all were talking too much. Well, there are people out there that have some strange interpretations of the Bible. You'll be surprised. Some strange interpretations of the Bible. Past the house. Got to come all the way back. That's why the word talks about in Jews the common salvation. If you get the nuts and bolts right, the cars stay together. If the foundation stays good, the common salvation, if it stays common, and the foundation stays common, everything's gonna be common. It's when you start putting that prosperity stuff in there. And you're supposed to study God's promises. But when you start to take his promises and fix them the way you want to fix them, God wants us to have a common salvation. So when our lives will not be complex. He's not the author of confusion. So if you think God is a sugar daddy, you're going to get confused. If you think God does not love you, you're going to get confused. If you think God is not going to supply your every need, you're going to get confused. So what you're going to have to do is get down to the basics. I remember the Green Bay Packers had a football game. And they got their butts kicked. And Vince Lombardi walked into the locker room. You know what he said? Gentlemen, this is a football. That had to be very embarrassing. But see, we make salvation complicated. If we bring it down to the level that God is in the person's life, and God is going to be overshadowing your life, and he's in you, and he will work through you, and he's all that in the bag of chips in the factory, when you know that God is going to take care of you, regardless of whatever happens, you don't have to figure nothing out. And when you look at, I have another Bible here. For some reason, I misplaced my Bible in the house, so I got. I'm gonna read two scriptures for y'all today. When you look at, and I love the other Bible because it's marked all up. So, but listen to this. It says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thy own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I don't care if your life, if you're in a windstorm, and God comes out and says, please be still, he's going to do it on his clock, because he's trying to do something in you. It says, be not wise in thy own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. So we want to figure everything out. So our lives won't be confused like Michael Jackson's or any other big wig. Our lives will be right on track. See, just because the Israelites went through the desert for 40 days, and supposedly 40 days, but it turned out to be 40 years, don't mean God, it was in God's planning. Don't mean it wasn't in God's planning. God knows everything. He knows the whole thing from, he's like on top of a building watching a parade. He knows the beginning and the end. So God knows he wants those things to happen to build into us. Not even the Israelites, not just the Israelites, but us. He wants to teach us a lesson through them. So let me sum this up. I don't even know how much time I got. I'm not even looking at my whole switchboard. Okay. I might have had some callers and didn't even know. I was looking at the chat room. Sorry about that. Apologize. I was actually looking off to the side. That's the thing. I need my microphone working. Anyway, praise God. So to sum it up, what I was just saying, we need to trust God. Stop looking at these people who pass away, and they do come in threes. I don't know I don't know why they come in threes, but they come in threes. But we're going to go down that path too. I think a lot of people don't think they're going to die. All the people that woke up in the morning that I know in my family, in the Army, in Job Corps, wherever I worked at, when I worked at Job Corps, anywhere in my life, in my church, movie stars, you suppose Left Eye knows she was going to wake up and die? Aaliyah, did you think she knew she was going to wake up and die? I don't even think too. Sometimes people have a premonition, which I think Left Eye do. You might have a premonition that you're going to die. But a lot of people like my auntie, my wife's auntie, probably didn't know. My boy Ron had died in the night in 89, got shot. He didn't know he was going to die. One of my friends in the Army, or associates, well, he was still a friend. He was a good guy, named Sergeant Love. I don't think he knew he was going to die when he woke up in the morning. So we all can travel down that path. We all going to travel. We're not can. We are. We're going to die sooner or later. So I'm not here to tell y'all that. That's not a revelation I'm trying to tell y'all. But I'm trying to get y'all to understand, why are people watching Michael Jackson as if we are all immortal? We thought he was immortal. For some strange reason, I don't believe. Oh, he died. Oh, my God. I mean, I was surprised he died. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying I'm not surprised. I'm just saying we need to approach death in another way. Because if you're not right with God, and you not saved, and you don't, Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He is the bridge back to the Father. I am a sinner, and I fall short of the glory of God. But Jesus lived a sinless life, that he will be my substitute. So I make him the Lord of my life, but I couldn't come to him. He had to draw me. So now, I'm a born-again believer in Jesus Christ. My conversation is at least 70% Christian. I mean, I don't want to say I hate using that word. My conversation is Jesus Christ and him crucified most of the time. I like prophecy, but I've learned as time goes on, I can't get saved off of finding out who the Antichrist is. I can't get saved finding out if the European Union is going to have 10 horns. I can't be saved trying to figure out when the rapture is going to be. Now, I can get saved from looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm trying to tell y'all to change the way you look at death. And here's the way you change the way you look at death. Think about it this way. God is going to come back one day and take his own out. Now, the dead in Christ, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Now, there's going to come a time also that the people who are walking this earth will never die. Now, Christ said that when somebody had brought up Abraham, he said, I am not the God of the dead. I'm the God of the living. So when we look at these icons, we have to be careful that we put death in the right perspective. We mortalize death. We put it in a thing where we get caught up in the thinking that, now go to work, go talk to the person next to you at work and tell them about Jesus if you can without getting fired these days. Stop looking at the movie star and the actors and the singers as if they're going to die while the person sitting next to you or you might die. Death can come to anybody. Just because somebody's caught in an airplane crash and 250 people die, don't mean, and everybody puts it like far away from them.
This is not going to,
you suppose those people on the plane, I watch people when the plane takes off. I literally watch people. I took my two sons, and boy, was that a lot of work. I took my one-year-old and my six-year-old to Michigan, back home, to Michigan, and brought them back. So I was traveling with two youngsters. Normally, I'm by myself, and how sweet it is. But I love my baby, so I was looking at the people on the plane. These people are so confident. And I'm not saying you should always go out and look for death. I'm not saying that. But these people are so confident. I just look at them and say, wow, I'm a Christian, and I'm not confident in any man's technology. They are so confident. They're so like, wow.
Oh, I didn't know Michael Jackson was going to die. Oh, I don't think I'm going to die. Let's get in the car, you know, and go. And some dudes drink and drive because they're not going to never die. Nobody's ever going to die. Nobody. Nobody leaves the house thinking, I'm going to die.
But sometimes you should contemplate it. You're never too cool to contemplate death. And then ask yourself a question. Could these Christians be right? Does anybody ever ask that question? Does a Muslim sit down and say, you know what? Wow. I bet you if I was a betting man, I guarantee you, they do. So what is death? Could death elude anybody?
We are in the last days of the last days of the last days. I say that almost every time I get on here. We might be talking about mass murders, mass killings, mass deaths, multiple body bags. And if we're talking about mass deaths, why are we looking at Michael Jackson like everybody's immortal, even us or even him? Now, Sarah Foster, she was sick. I watched a part of her show. My wife is playing it. She had a documentary, and she was talking about Jesus Christ. And normally, I got a way of telling if somebody's saved or not. I check the fruit, and then I check my fruit. So I got to get the plank out of my eye first before I get the speck out of anybody else's eye. But I can tell if I'm around you. At least give me a good month. You say, well, what about it? Some people you can tell right away. Because one is you walk away, you know, somebody walk away and then start gossiping, look at her. I mean, you still could be saved. But God got to pull you by the ear and say, hey, look. But I only can tell sooner or later, if I'm talking to you on the phone, if you call your sister on the phone, let's just say one of the ladies that's listening, call their sister on the phone.
Oh, let's even put it farther away. Their cousin. The cousin just called. And, you know, you got your phone number from in the family, at the family reunion, and they call. Say, hey, girl, what's up? Hey, girl. And she called you like 5 times. But she's a Christian, remember. Remember, she's a Christian. And she never tells you about Jesus. You suppose she thinks you're ever going to die? Serious, folks. If anybody out there is a Christian, and you go to work, and y'all got a little freedom at work, y'all even got a picnic sometime, and you can't talk, you need to go and tell somebody the last commandment Jesus gave us in the book of Matthew was to go ye and preach the gospel. That's one of the ways I tell. Of course, you're going to tell by conduct, too. But you say, well, nobody should shove Christianity down somebody's throat. When somebody says that and claim to be a Christian, they have just gave me all signals, red flags. I also sort of have problems with people who say Jesus ain't going to come back, but not as much. I mean, you know, to say there's no rapture, I don't have as much problems with them as you can't. And then somebody got the audacity to tell me, you can't use scripture on somebody. You just got to talk to them. I'm like, okay, what has this person been? And then you always feel like you're the one judging. You kind of feel like that when you walk away. Wow. But technically, it's the devil. So you walk up to somebody and say, well, see, on the day Michael Jackson died, I ain't going to say nothing bad about Michael Jackson. I ain't going to say nothing bad about him anyway. But the thing is, why is the newscast talking bad about Michael Jackson? Oh, he's drugs, and some people say he's a little boy. I mean, come on. But see, a Christian, on the other hand, if we mention that, they get us for hate crimes. You know, they got new legislation right now. They in the House right now. The Senate has already passed through the Senate. Hate crimes. So you in our radio program, your radio show, you can't even mention anything about homosexuality or anything. Even if you said the truth, which God loves the person but hates the action. I swear, a couple months ago, I had one beer, and God was like, nope. And I mean, but I don't go around. I'm not going to go. Well, I will say it. If somebody asks me, you know, go up to a relative's house, can I drink? I mean, but it's trying to tell somebody that fermented and unfermented wine is, I mean, it's kind of hard to, you know, to tell somebody and explain to somebody that fermented and unfermented wine is something different. But let me talk about I'm going to go ahead and talk a little bit about North Korea. Now, if people know me, or they've been listening to any of my shows, they know that I believe that God sends signals. But the first signal I believe is that the Bible says that he would not do anything unless he warns his prophets first, or preachers, or teachers, or people who deliver the message of Christ. But I believe that either this year or next year, and I know some people out there maybe don't you have to almost disconnect yourself from this world and hold loosely to the things of this world. If you got a new house and you just get a new house, or if you want to see JoJo graduate from, you know, high school and then college, or you want to have 2 more babies, and you got to almost, you know, ask God to give you strength to disconnect, but connect, hold things loosely. understanding what I'm saying, you'd be able to take it and get ready for him to be coming, because we need to be ready all the time. And the laws of imminency rings loud in the Bible. He even talks about it in Matthew 24:25, where he talks about the 10 virgins being ready. But going back to North Korea, I don't know what's going to happen out of this thing, but I do know that the Bible says that there should be wars and rumors of wars, and they have increased greatly over the last couple of months. I mean, they really have increased. I think that Pakistan and India will start to, we will start to hear ruffle feathers from them. And I believe that Syria and Israel, are you going to start hearing a lot of things from them? But I do believe that a war between Israel and Hezbollah will explode and bring Syria and Iran into it. And then some of the other neighbors. But I believe that Israel will retaliate against a biological weapons that were used against them. And it will put hooks in the jaws of Russia and bring them down. Now, I am believing that the pestilence and famines are going to, if it's this year, you're going to see those things take place around the tip of August. And they're going to increase greatly. If it's next year, you're going to see it spread it out a little bit more. If it's a year after next, you're going to still see things spreading. But why even want it to be that far away? If it's going to get bad, why would you even want to risk your husband losing his job? If you're born again, you might as well just start telling him, you know, the Bible says, who knows if you're going to save your husband, or who knows you're going to save your wife? And not literally save, but who knows you're going to influence them towards the kingdom. There are signs, folks, in the skies. The times of off in 2008 was a 10-day period, and I forgot the exact days, but I think it was from the 1st of August to the 9th of August. And on the 8th of August, Russia was invaded. Georgia was invaded by Russia. But this year, we have the same thing. Now, what made that so interesting is that it was a solar eclipse. And if you read Luke 21, it says that in Luke 21 that, I'll go to that right quick if I can find it. Yeah, I got a different Bible here. But it talks about there should be signs. So the signs in the sky, it says there should be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth, perplexity of nations. So the signs he was talking about was irregularities with whatever sign it was. For instance, if it was the sun, that's a solar eclipse. If it was the moon, that's a lunar eclipse. Well, NASA, if you go to NASA, so I want you to go check this out. Go to NASA, look up solar eclipse. You're going to see that on the 22nd of July, there's a solar eclipse. Now, if you go to, you can just type this up, Jewish holidays, Jewish observance days, or whatever, and look at or type in off, the times of off, you're going to find out that the times of off was a sad time for Israel in their history. You're going to find out that their temples, both temples were destroyed. Titus the Roman came in and destroyed the temple in 70 AD. So Adolf Hitler gave the decree to kill the Jews. The Second Lebanon War started and so forth and so on. So if you go check, you can find the history of whatever happened on those time periods. But this year is July 21st to July 31st. Okay, so to make a long story short, the Pandora's box could be open for the end times. So and a lot of people out there trying to start businesses and doing all this other stuff, and that's fine and dandy. But you need to get more focused on what you're doing right here for the kingdom of God, because when you stand in front of Jesus to give an account, he's going to be asking you, what did you do, my son, first of all? And if you saved him, fine. And then he's going to ask you, what did you do for the kingdom of God versus what did you do for the world? The Bible says that in 1 John 2:15, love not the world or the things in the world. It also says that in 2 Peter chapter 3 that the world is fading away. The world is vanishing away. And we have to be ready for this. Now, I'm not a prophet. Trust me. And I am not a prophet. But I do believe in my soul that we're going to see a major earthquake. Now, I don't know if I get to heaven and find out God told me or whatever. I don't know. But I just have it. It's just in my heart. Today I was walking around, and the still small voice came to me and said, there's going to be a major earthquake. So, I don't know if that's word of knowledge, word of wisdom. I don't know anything about this. So, but I'm going to tell you right now that God was telling, you know, his prophets, he's not going to do anything unless he warns his people first, prophets or preachers or teachers. I consider myself an evangelist. So I don't like all them labels. I consider myself a radio talk host, because if you look at, for right now at least, and a father and a student and a, you know, veteran or whatever you want to call me, but if you look at, it says in I think Romans or some of the epistles, it says Paul called to be a such and such for Christ. Well, I consider myself to be called a radio host for Christ, or a watchman on the wall. And I'm warning the little, you know, influence that I do have, that Jesus Christ is coming back soon. And the generation from 1948 to 2018, I believe it's it. I believe the generation stops in 2018 sometime in May 15th. If he goes in the extra endings, then fine, but he said that this time should be cut short. So when we look at icons and movie stars who pass away, we need to ask ourselves the question, where are we going to go when we die? We so busy looking at them, or we so busy looking at, well, we should be looking at the Hudson River, people. When that plane didn't kill anybody, that's what we should be looking at. And we should be saying to ourselves, wow, that could have happened to us. But see, the Laodicean church ain't going to think that way, because we're rich. I say they're rich, because I don't want to even. See, they increase that God may decrease. See, God wants the Philadelphia church. He says that you're weak. But through Christ, they're made strong. See, the Laodicean church appeared to be strong, but they're weak. It's like looking at a big strong dude with an aneurysm in his head. And then looking at a small dude, and they get in the ring and start fighting, and the dude just do a little smack karate chop to the head with his hands, not his feet. And the big dude just go boom. Well, Laodicean was the one big dude with an aneurysm in his head, went boom. you know, hit the ground. That's why God says, buy me gold, try it in the fire. That's what he mean. He meant that, he says, God, resist the proud and lift up the humble. What is that worth? All the treasures in the world to find that one thing, and that is Jesus Christ. The fear of knowledge, the fear of God is the beginning of the wisdom and knowledge and everything else. See, they don't, Laodicean people didn't fear God, they just wanted something from him. That's why you turn on the TV, oh, send, put your hands up to the screen and send me $50, a $1,000 love offering. Oh, you weak vessel. You so weak you need Jesus. You know that, don't you? See, that's why I love talking to a brother or a sister who says, man, I can't do it on my own, you know. I need Jesus. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, people love this world, man, ladies. People love this world. I mean, once you get a motorcycle and you drive it, if you keep it good, in good condition, you know, you're going to be able to drive it for a few years. But when your treasures become you, instead of you possess your treasures, but your treasures possess you, you're in trouble. I say this, and it can be my 30-pound 1-year-old son. We got to get him weighed. But it could be my 30-pound 1-year-old son. It could be anybody, anything. And I know people don't want to hear this, but it can be anything. You people who believe in abortion, y'all just don't even think about it. Y'all don't even think about it. But I'm trying to put value on this because when I love God first, I love my son because I have the ability through Christ to love. But what I was going to say is when the rapture happens, anything you're holding on to, let's say you were just holding on to a $100 bill, that's too heavy for you to go in the rapture. You probably say, what are you talking about? Well, it depends on how you hold it. Because if you hold things loosely, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. Now listen to this. Please, please, people, please. I think it should say seek his righteousness and then the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. And that has to do with the unity of the brothers and sisters. I can't do it without you. You're the finger, I'm the toe. My mom's the eyeball. Reverend Johnson or Reverend Jones is the thighs. You know, Aunt Betty is the stomach. But, you know, you can't do it without all the parts. Deacon Burnett is the, you know, forehead. You can't do without the part. So, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. The kingdom of God is also where Jesus said, go ye and preach the gospel to all the ends of the earth. It's the word of God. You know, living through the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit. That's the kingdom of God. He said, the kingdom of God is within you. Remember he said that? So the Holy Spirit comes in and comes down in the residence. So seek ye first and it's righteousness. Now the righteousness is not our righteousness, it's from God. Our righteousness is a filthy rag. So we seek God first. We put God first. We put his kingdom first. That's why I said earlier today that when you talk to a Christian, their conversation evidently should get back to Christian say. Now, not in a judgmental way. I'm not talking about that. I can actually hang around. I've done it before. I wouldn't do it. All things are not law. I mean, you don't put yourself in a bar if you're a Christian. That's because you want to be there deep down inside. You want a beer. But I'm saying when I was in the Army, I would be around a bunch of guys. They knew I was saved. And they would be able to do certain things without me walking away because I knew how to block it out. But sometimes I would just get up and walk off, and they knew it. But so I wasn't afraid to offend anybody. But a lot of times I stuck around, and I just kind of put a deaf ear to what they were saying. And it was not hard to do that. So, what we need to do as Christians is to get ready. We should have an idea of how God looks at us, and we should have the right perspective on life. How God really thinks about us is when he said in John 3:16, where everybody says it so much as it really doesn't mean anything, but for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God loves us, and we need to put all life in his perspective, especially after tonight. Everybody don't think they're going to, nobody thinks they're, I mean, we need to actually not go around thinking, oh, I'm a daughter day. No, but have a right perspective on this thing. I think a lot of people after the rapture is going to be figuring out, you know what, I need to put this in its right perspective. And yes, I am a rapture person. The Bible says that John was looking at him, he couldn't even count the number of people that were saved. So if he can't count the number of people that were saved, I believe the rapture had a big thing to do with it for those who are. I believe that the rapture scared the living daylights out of some people, and it made everybody put life in this right perspective. Because when you're looking at Michael Jackson and Farrah Fawcett and Ed McMahon, we look at them as icons that they should, you know, they should live forever. But we look at ourselves as if we're not, you know, it's not going to happen to us. You know, we even do our country like this. This country where they sitting there butchering your constitution apart, splitting it up into pieces, Patriot Act and the anti-terrorist bill and all of these privacy bills and, you know, and taking money and $700 and something billion and just making it vanish and passing bills that allow mixture of gay people in the military. Passing abortion laws, going over there and funding China, and paying for their abortions. What is a rich country? I know they're poor over there. Some people are poor. Some people over here are poor. But why would we pay to kill babies over there? How much is God going to take a little midget taking a billy club to a football player's leg and just busting his kneecaps out and he can't play no more because the dude calls him? The football player called the midget short the night before. Well, somebody's going to take a bat to the United States knees because everything's ungodly. We have a president, and I promise I wasn't going to say anything about it, so I'm going to keep it on the outskirts, but we have an administration that has no idea of God's laws. How can, now I'm going to say something about President Obama. How could he say he was Christian when he doesn't have any recollection of Israel? He's left Israel. He's left them in the dust. What do you suppose God's going to do pretty soon to us? And that's why I've been talking to y'all about putting death in its right perspective. Because death might come knocking at our door in a mass number. I told y'all tonight, something's probably, I mean, I'm scared to death to say God told me something. I mean, I know when God's dealing with me on an issue. But he was, I can feel the voice. There's going to be an earthquake in the near future. Of course, I believe Christ is coming back pretty soon. So there's going to be a lot of things. Of course, it's obvious that there's going to be earthquakes and pestilence and famines in diverse places. But he's like, no, it's going to be a big one. Now, I do believe that, and I know this is off the wall and the show is going to go off, but I do believe that in Ezekiel 38 and 39, as you're reading, it says that the whole world should shake at his presence. I believe he's doing the same thing he did with Lot, where he destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, simultaneously taking them out of the city. I believe in the book of Ezekiel 38 and 39, and yes, I believe it's pre-trib. It's pre-tribulation war. The Bible says it takes 7 years to bury the dead. What do you think that is? The Antichrist shall confirm covenant with many for 7 years. And it says, if you read it closely, I think it's in verse 13, it says, and they shall dwell safely. Where's the word peace? It's not there. I mean, why? And you know, like I said, I waited. This show needs to be 2 hours because I got the gift of gab tonight. But why do people bypass some of the simplest? And I'm not the smartest person in the world. I use common things. Like tonight, the common salvation. I got a ministry called Common Salvation. I was talking about Jude, the common salvation. It's common. If you read it and say it takes seven years to bury the dead, I mean, to burn the weapons, what do you think that it is? God can be giving us a hint. They are dwelling safely. It says in Thessalonians that when they shall say peace and safety, total destruction, that's the Antichrist. That's when he comes, peace and safety. But it says safely. So isn't Israel dwelling safely now? They got the top military, one of the top militaries. Now, I messed up completely when this show first came on. I don't know. I had too many windows opened up. And I apologize, too. I'm still working on all of this. I was looking at the switchboard, the chat room, and yes, I got to talk to you. I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. It's hard for me. That's why I need my mic. So I'm going to get that mic next week. I'm going to get the premium package next week because I can't walk and chew gum at the same time. I can't hold this thing and then talk to y'all. And then I'm sitting there looking at the chat room instead of looking at the switchboard. So it's just I love talking on the radio. You know what my problem is? I'll say this right quick. I have 50 things on my mind simultaneously, and that's why it seems like I'm shifting gears and moving and I won't stick to this. It's just like fire is burning in me, you know, to just say different stuff, and I'm trying to be calm like the other radio hosts. Not Russ Limbaugh, though. He's just a quack. But I'm talking about, you know, just get your thoughts together and say what you're going to say. And what have you. But God bless everybody out there. I do believe there is going to be a new nuclear attack war. I believe on the times of off, that could be a time where a major nuclear war bomb goes off. If y'all know anything about Operation Black something, well, I got to get the name of it, but I have to explain that on the next show, but it's something else. They're running drills, too. They're running drills on 9/11. And the drills went live. So they're running drills at the times I gave you all, from the 21st to the 31st. So that might go live. Hopefully I don't have receive a sniper's bullet. My listenership ain't that big for me to get attacked. But Alex Jones is. I mean, he's trying to warn everybody because I'm a watchman on the wall. And if I have to preach to one person, I'll preach to one person. But God has given me the floor to preach to a few people at least. You know, and I'm really thankful for that. And I'm thankful for all y'all. And God be with y'all. That y'all get saved or I get saved and we all stay saved and we hear the trumpet sound. We are saved. If you're saved, then praise the Lord. We're going to hear that trumpet sound in a couple months, possibly a year and a half, but I'm starting to lean towards a couple months. But I love being blunt, but God bless y'all. God bless you guys in the chat room. Thank you very much. See y'all later. Sounds for today, I'll be keeping in contact with most of y'all. Sorry, like I said, I don't know how to really use the phone or hold the phone and do the chat room, but I'll try my best next time. God bless y'all. Have a wonderful night.